If you brought your Bibles here this morning, I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to read one verse of scripture here this morning and launch off of our talk here today that we're calling the 2015 dream, the 2015 dream. And we're going to read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. And I'm going to do something that I rarely do here. I'm going to read out of the King James Version. Here it is. It says this: "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for what we have the opportunity to do here this morning, and that's to celebrate your word. And God, I'm not here to preach a great message. I'm here simply to share an incredible truth. And God, I pray that your truth would come to life inside of our lives, motivate action in our lives, God, so that we can see that truth come to life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, I love this verse. I love this verse. I love this verse. I love this verse. It lets us know that you can go to God for anything that you need. That you have been given 24/7 access to God, to go to Him for anything you need. You know, I've been spending a lot of time personally in front of God's throne, as that scripture says. And I want you, if you would, Danny, just to leave that scripture up there for a minute, if you would. You know, just asking God to help provide the miracles necessary to allow the future of this church to continue. And we've experienced a lot of miracles as a result of that. I know you can say that in your own life, just going to God and seeing Him meet your needs. You know, it's an amazing thing. And I just remember going to Him, just asking Him to provide for miracles so that the future of this church can continue. And can I say it just one more time? I am so honored to be able to hold the deed to 366 South Lincoln Drive here in Troy, right here in my hands. It's an amazing thing to see what God provides His people. How many know this is a miracle? This is a true miracle, friends. Somebody say a good amen. And I'll get in the specifics of this in just a minute. But this is a miracle, friends. This is evidence of God doing His part to allow the future of this church to continue down the path He has created for us all to go. The first step has been taken, friends. And now we stand at the next step in front of us. We have to pay for it with money. Everybody say, awkward, right? So I think I heard somebody say that in Wentzville last night. You know, sometimes, I don't know, have you ever seen like, this is always just a wonderful topic to talk about money in church, but have you ever seen The Office? It's a show called The Office. It was on NBC, you know, it was like a big show back then. Steve Carell hosted it. But inside of that show, there's two characters, lead characters. Their name was Jim and Pam. And Jim and Pam were getting married, and they invited everybody at The Office to be a part of their wedding, but they didn't register anywhere, so nobody knew what to get them. And then there's this scene in the show where Kevin Malone, who's considered the quote-unquote dumb accountant, and he goes up to them and he just says, you know, I didn't see that you were registered anywhere. Anyway, the scene is an awkward scene. I love it. Kind of shows what this moment may be right here. Just take a look at this scene real quick if you would.
I heard that you were registered, but I didn't hear where.
I don't think we registered anywhere. We just want cash.
Money?
Like, money? You want my money, right? You know, people often say it gets uncomfortable when someone is tasked with the responsibility to raise resources for a cause. People often say, you know, that's not really a desire in most people to ask someone else for those resources from their life. You know, they say that, you know, and most people probably don't wake up in the morning with the desire to go, I think I just want to ask a bunch of people for money today. You know, nobody wakes up with that desire, friends. Nobody, a lot of people find discomfort inside of that when you're tasked with the responsibility to raise resources for a cause. But I want to tell you here something this morning with a smile on my face. I'm not uncomfortable at all in this moment. I'm not uncomfortable. I'm quite comfortable and I'm quite enthusiastic, actually, at the honor that I have to be able to do this here today, to be able to show what we need to do and accomplish to arrive at what we believe is one of the greatest beginnings that this church is ever going to experience, friends. We have an incredible thing that God is allowing us the honor to begin. Allow me to explain. In the summer of 2012, we came to you, for those of you that were there, and shared with you that God wants Journey Church to create a dream center. We shared with you that vision. And it was a vision that got a lot of positive response in the moment. I believe we had like a standing ovation when we described that we believe God wants us to create a place where people that are struggling with addiction can come and find a place to live, where they can come and live inside of the presence of God. We said that there are people out there that are struggling with addiction that just visiting God's presence on Sunday mornings isn't going to launch freedom in their life. There are some people that have some issues in their life. They need to come and live with us. They need to experience 24/7 Jesus in their life. They need to experience an atmosphere in a 12 to 14 month program that would allow them to come and live at Journey Church, to experience the incredible psychological tools needed to install in their mind. Because I mean, no, you need victory up here before you're going to get victory out there. You need to get it in here, and we want to give them chapels every day and teaching and the Word of God every day, and we want to be able to get them to help clean the streets up that they were a part of destroying by going and adopting blocks in the community and sweeping and mowing and painting and helping people here and there and everywhere and finding that opportunity to serve all the time. Because how many know serving makes life not about me but about my Jesus, about the cause that he has in our community, about winning other people and being able to give them, if they don't have a GED, an opportunity to get their GED and start to rebuild practically their lives where their dreams can happen again. A lot of people that struggle with addiction have relationships that are broken, and we want to put relationship counselors and coaches in their life to be able to restore those relationships and rebuild those bridges in their life. We want to be able to put HR experts inside to help them create a resume so that they can get a job back in society and be a blessing instead of a burden. We launched that talk in the summer of 2012, and with it, again, we got a lot of positive response. And we resolved in prayer that to get there, we need to own property. And there was no property to own, though, for a church our size that was affordable, because we grew so fast. I mean, we grew like 500 people in 3 years, and couldn't fit our butts anywhere else and, you know, and afford it. And so it's just like, yeah, well, where are we going to go? And because and even if there was property that was available for us, there wasn't a bank that was going to loan us any significant amount of money to a then 3.5-year-old church. Because every bank we talked to, and we went to banks and talked to them and said, would you help us? And they all asked this question: what finances do you currently have? And I said, none. And they said, well, you may go now. It's just one of those things, like what we bring in, we go, we put out, we spend, you know, to make this ministry happen. And they said, you need to come back when you got some equity. And so we prayed about that. We prayed about what we should raise to begin taking steps to becoming property owners. And again, with no property in sight at the time, we're just like, God, what do you want to do? And we felt God give us this figure of $250,000, $250,000. Now, the most we had ever raised up until that point was between $10,000 and $15,000 for the chairs that we're all sitting in when we were in Bonfils. That's the most we've ever launched out to raise. And so this was a monumental goal for us. Now, mind you, $250,000 isn't enough to pay for a building and get everything that we need, but we felt like it was a start. It was something that would attract, you know, a lender to say, we want to work with Journey Church. We see you're serious about it. And so we came to this church the following spring of 2013 with that amount, $250,000. And I watched people give, and I watched people so faithfully give that year. We didn't raise that amount. We didn't raise $250,000. But by the end of the summer of 2013, because of the sacrifices of this incredible congregation, we were able to give $100,000 toward that goal. $100,000 to the dark. Did you just hear what I said? We gave $100,000 to the dark, to a place we couldn't see, to a place that we had no idea where it would be. And again, there was no property to buy. All we knew was that we needed to get ready to buy something. And we accomplished that by raising $100,000. That was the summer. Now fast forward just a couple of months to the fall of 2013, and I'm driving down South Lincoln Drive. And as I pass the old bowling alley, something jumps inside of me. There's something about what I was driving by to see that this is more than just what I'm seeing. This could be a great launching point to what God wants to do through this church. And so I contacted the owners at the time, which was Ron and Norma Rogers. And Norma took me through on a personal tour. And she's taken me through this old bowling alley. And, you know, needless to say, it wasn't amazing on the inside, or as you've driven by, it's not anything to take pictures of and send to your friends on the outside either. But she's taking me through, and I'm seeing a lot of square footage, and I'm seeing a lot of potential for our church to meet, and children's programs and offices, and creating like a teaching area, and it was just really awesome. And then she said, and by the way, you know, there's a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom apartment attached to the back. And I said, say what? And she said, yeah. And it was right there where it was like, this is where the Dream Center will launch. And the Dream Center would eventually take over that entire campus. And I just started to get really excited in prayer. I started to dream. And I asked, how much? And she said, $450,000. And I said, well, okay. We shook hands and we parted ways. But, you know, because that price tag was a no. There was no way we could accomplish that, especially with the renovation costs. And I was like, man, that's unfortunate. But I just could not let go of it in my heart. For those of you that are close staff and leadership, you know that I couldn't let go of that in my heart. And long story short, friends, because as you know, we've shared this story. We were able to hold on to it, walk into contract, and just a couple months ago, we closed on that property in January, or I'm sorry, last month, we closed on that property at the price of $306,000. That's an amazing thing. Now, with that $306,000, that was the agreed upon purchase price, we put $61,000 down on that from the $100,000 that we raised, which was awesome because there's the bank says, well, we need to put 20% down. And so we were very thankful for that we had that was all we had to do. And so we put that down, and that leaves our mortgage today at $245,000 on that property alone. That's our mortgage today on that. Now, in case you haven't seen it yet, it's not what you would call move-in ready. Right? So now we have to renovate that property. And to renovate that property, to make it habitable on the inside, it's going to cost some money. And we have gone through people and talked to people and asked, you know, like, what would it cost? And getting really dug down in the specifics of it. And I'm going to round the numbers. These are rounded numbers, okay? So it's not like exactly zeros, but they're just rounded. But this is the amount that they said it was going to cost. This is the bare minimum cost, really, for a phase one renovation of this property. And it is $400,000 to renovate this property. Now, just to give you an idea of what that would actually entail, like I went through just a couple days ago while they were demoing, because we've already started demo, because we learned that it doesn't cost to destroy. You can destroy for free, amen. And so we're in there just demoing stuff. I don't know if you got that video. If you could play that video, and I'll just kind of walk you through. I just took my cell phone camera and just started to walk through. This was just a couple days ago. This is walking in the side building. And what we're looking down right there is our offices down there. And down at the very end, it's a big, like, multi-purpose Sunday school room. We would be able to host, you know, our recovery programs, all that good stuff. And this, you're walking into the main foyer right there. And it's turning right now. This is our bathrooms. We decided we're going to leave them like that. We figured that would be beneficial and save on plumbing, because not many people would do that. But anyway, we're in the lobby here. This right here is where the new info center is going to be. And as we're making our way, we're about to turn into one of the auditorium entry doors. And it turns in, and there's our auditorium in there. That will seat 400 people. This auditorium seats just over 300. So that's a very great increase in seating capacity, which will allow us to grow a little bit more. Back here's where our sound booth area is going to be. And as we head out back into the lobby, we're walking right here into our children's wing. And this, you're going to be able to walk down. There's actually going to be a ramp down there and a great registration area. That's where our nursery is going to be. Back in that back corner is where our toddler rooms are going to be. Just children restrooms, just accessible for them. And here we're looking down that big hall that's going to hold our pre-K and kindergarten chapel, as well as our elementary chapel. I mean, you're excited about what God's going to bring. And then, you know, obviously, you know, it's going to cost to renovate that, because that wasn't made to be a church. And so there's a lot of transformation and a lot of building that needs to happen to make that a fit for our church to meet. You're talking with the electrical and the plumbing and all the studs and the drywall and everything, just in the HVAC units. I mean, we've got to put all new HVAC units in and through. My goodness, that stuff costs money. And so anyway, just, and to furnish it. And you know, just because everything that we have here, we borrow, with the exception of the chairs. The sound system that we're using, this is our landlords. They have so graciously let us use their sound system here. So we don't own anything, with the exception of these lights that are hanging off of this bar that we borrowed from Quiver River Electric. It's a lighting pole that we just painted black. I mean, we were just taking everything that we could and, you know, just to use what we can to make this church work. And so there's a lot of stuff from our children's classrooms and everything that just needs to be bought. And again, that figure comes down to $400,000. Now, that $400,000 to renovate that property, again, is on top of our mortgage payment. And so we were able to talk with our bank, and the bank, People's Bank, is willing to dedicate $250,000 to a construction loan to Journey Church. And that's a fantastic thing, to give $250,000 of that. Now, if you kind of look at that, $400,000, they're giving us $250,000. So that $250,000 would become a construction loan that would tie, that would jump into our mortgage. And it would land right at about $500,000. And our mortgage payment on that would actually, it's very doable for us. It's a little less than what we pay here, actually, for rent. So that makes Journey Church very comfortable. But what we need to raise, 400 minus 250, leaves $150,000 that we have to raise to move in to 366 South Lincoln Drive. $150,000. Now, to one set of eyes, that's a lot of money. Alone, that is a huge amount. But I want to say something this morning, Journey Church. Through 500 sets of eyes, however, this can be accommodated. Through the eyes of many, this can be accommodated. I mean, no, even through the eyes of God, that's not a big number. And I want I said this can be accommodated, Journey Church. I need you to work on my faith right now, amen? Do I need to play the Office video again? I want everyone in this room to know today that we're not up here promoting an opportunity simply so that we can pay for something. We're up here promoting an opportunity that we can begin something. Begin something. Begin something. Because we're right at the cusp of seeing the next level of this church continue and to be able to reach into an aspect of outreach that this community has never seen before. Can you go back to that slide that shows the summer of 2012, Danny, if you would, when we gave this vision out just under 3 years ago? I want to track back to there, to what kicked this vision off in the first place. Do you know what led to that? Do you know what led to that moment of me coming off that stage, onto the stage to share that with you? Because I've really not shared that story with you in totality of what launched the Dream Center. It's not a long story. But that was in the summer of 2012. If you were to even rewind back to the fall of 2011, I'm on YouTube. How many love YouTube? I love YouTube. I can just get lost in YouTube. But I'm on YouTube, and Tyndale Publishing, which is one of the largest Christian book distributors in the world, did a documentary on the Dream Center in Los Angeles, the original Dream Center. And they were so blown away with it at this church that from Phoenix, Arizona, that started a church in LA, and what they did, you know, they purchased a hospital in the city of Los Angeles. A hospital, a huge hospital, has 15 floors. I mean, just can house thousands of people. And they purchased it for a miraculous price of $6 million. And they renovated it. It ended up costing around $30 million to renovate it. But now what they do is it's a 24/7 beacon of hope to the community where they are located, right outside of Echo Park. Now, I don't know if you know Los Angeles, but Echo Park was never something that was known as a beautiful, safe location. I know Erica was a police officer for LAPD, and so I'm sure she knows that. Echo Park was, that was a place where when they drained the lake in Echo Park, there were bodies at the bottom of that lake. And they went and started a church right there in Echo Park. And they started to reach people. They opened up, and people, just drug addicts, were able to come and find it. Prostitutes were able to come and find refuge, and they were just starting to see just the city just be reached. They started to feed people, and now it's gone to the tune where they feed 30,000 people every week. They go out in the streets and they reach people, and there's thousands of people that come in, the homeless. They've got floors for specific homeless, for single men that are homeless. They've got a floor where they can go and live and find home and shelter and food, and they help them get a life and get them jobs. And there's a floor for single women, and there's a floor for homeless families, floor for prostitutes. There's a floor for kids that age out of the foster care system that end up going into a life of drugs, and they're able to find refuge and help there. And I'm watching this video, and they start to talk about how this place started to impact that community of Echo Park in such a way that within 4 years' time, the rate of violence, of gang violence and prostitution, dropped 73% in 4 years. And 6 years later, within 10 years, Echo Park was found on the top 100 most desirable places to buy a home in the state of California. How many are thankful that churches that do their job actually make impact in their community? You go from being one of the most crime-ridden areas in Los Angeles to jumping on the top 100 most desirable places to buy a home. And I'm watching this video, and I want to show you just a little clip of that video that I was watching in the fall of 2011 on YouTube.
So we came to
isn't that awesome? And I'm watching that, and I got tears streaming down my face because I'm like, that's why we're here. I mean, we're not here just to have another church. I mean, how many know the world has been churched to death? I think we've Saturday nighted and we've Sunday morninged the world to death. And true change isn't going to happen inside of the time frame that we have just church services. How many know the devil never sleeps? The church should never sleep either. We should always be reaching people at all times. And so I'm just sitting there, and I'm just like, God, and I, did you hear the end of that video? He says, at the end of the day, it's not about your potential. It's not about what you can do. It's about daring to believe that you can make a difference. And I did something after I watched that YouTube video, and I asked the question. I dared to ask the question, God, will you do that in this community? And that was in the fall of 2011. Now fast forward to February 2012, which, as you know, every year in February I go off to Arizona for the Dream Conference. And I'm at the Dream Conference in February 2012, and they played that exact same video. And I'm watching that video, and God spoke to me and says, I want you to do a Dream Center at Journey Church. And I just wept. And it took me, that was February, took me March, April, May, June, July, August. Took me 6 months to muster the courage to tell you that. And I remember that service, and that's what leads us right to here when I shared that vision. And again, positive response. And through the process of casting that vision, it was the responses I got afterwards that were kind of challenging. Because how many know people have the best of intentions, but sometimes people can make you doubt. How many know doubt is very dangerous to your dream? And because people would come up to me with the best of intentions and go, you know, that's a lot to do. Like, do you realize how much work that actually entails? Do you realize the magnitude of what you're asking us to start here? I mean, we're talking millions and millions of dollars long haul here to make something like this happen in our community. And I was like, I didn't think about all that stuff, you know? And I started to doubt. I started to doubt and saying, oh, are you sure you want us to do this? Because how many know God's voice starts with a thought in our head, right? He speaks through. I mean, it wasn't like I was having coffee with Jesus in Arizona, you know? And it's like I'm sitting here talking to him and I'm watching a cup of coffee just miraculously get up and coffee disappear out of the cup. It's not like, I want you to start a dream center. All right, right on. You know, then I could. But it starts with a thought, and I just remember that thought popping in my head that I didn't think on my own. It just was showcased right there, and I interpreted that to be God's voice, and I started to doubt that thought. I started to doubt what I felt like God was telling me, and I asked, are you sure you want us to do this? Like, why not use another church to do this? Like, because we're, again, 3.5 years old. Like, use a church in this community that has more influence than we do, because there are churches that have people inside of their pews that have the monetary resources just to write the check right then. I mean, they've got politicians and influential community leaders that could piece together, piece by piece, to make something like that happen. And I'll support them. Our church will support them. We just want to see that kind of change happen in this community. I started to doubt and just relinquish that responsibility to other churches because I just didn't know if we had the ability to do it. And then walks into my office a little lady named Cindy Isom. You know, if I were to ever write a book on my life, which I'm not going to, but if I were to ever write one and it was 10 chapters, one of the chapters would be titled Cindy Isom. Because she walks into my office after this and says, "Can I tell you a story?" And she starts to tell me the story of her brother, Jeff. She calls him Jeffy. And she said, you know, he was, grew up in this area and was just an amazing little brother, and ended up becoming just, he was, I don't know if you got a picture of him, but he was, played for Troy High School and was a quarterback for Troy, and just had a reputation, you know, athletic, great guy. And she said that his life toward the tail end of his high school time started to walk into addiction. And after he graduated high school, that addiction held on. And long story short, he ends up in Texas and just struggling with drug use, and walked into prison and out of prison. And she just started to share the story of the struggle that she had with him and the addiction that they have. And if you've ever struggled with somebody that has addiction in your family, you know the pain that comes with that. Our family personally knows that pain that comes with that, you know, because you just, trust is broken, and you don't trust motives. Even if you're asking for money, it's like you're just going to go and spend it on this, and it's just pain and heartbreak and distance. And she's sharing that I'm sure we all have experienced, and she just started to go into those details, and it was so heart-wrenching to hear her tell this story to me. And she says that, you know, fast forward to right at the turn of you know, 2000, 2001, that he is in California, and he's being accused of they thought that he stole a vehicle, and that, you know, he's driving, and the cops are chasing him, and anyway the chase ends in a parking lot, and he's up against the fence in the car. They ask him to come out, and anyway, there's a lot of controversy that surrounds what happened next, and anyway, he was shot 22 times. Because they thought he was using the car as a weapon when he was backing up. And she's telling the story and of this loss that their family experienced and the pain and this heartbreak. And she says, "But that's not the reason why I'm here. The reason why I'm here is I'm here to give my best. And you said that this Dream Center couldn't happen unless we gave our best." And she says, "I'm here to give my best." And she takes out this envelope, and she says, "You know, when my brother died, they took everything off of his person and sent it to our family." And she says, "I got some of the items that were taken from his person." And she said, "One of the items that was taken off of his person was his wallet." And she said, "In this wallet, Jesse, is $87. This blood-stained wallet. And she said, "Jesse, I've been through hard times." She says, "There's been times where I've had trouble even wondering how I'm going to get my food." And she says, "I've never touched the money in that wallet. That's sacred to me. That's precious to me." And she says, "I believe that this Dream Center needs to happen so that we can rescue lives that won't end like my brother's did, so that we can see true change happen in people that struggle with this mammoth monster of addiction. And she said, she slid this wallet across the table for me and says, here's the first $87 that I want to give toward that. And I felt like in that moment I was in a holy moment. And God spoke to me and said, see, I do want to use you guys to do this. I do want to use this church. I do want to use you to make this Dream Center happen. You can be used. And all doubt left my heart. Cindy, you don't know that, but all doubt left my heart in that meeting that we had. That was an emotional time for me, but it boosted confidence in my life that we're supposed to do this. I said, we're supposed to do this journey, church. Amen. We had a very emotional time last week, didn't we? Some of you are like, well, we're having an emotional time right now. With Corey Kimbrell, who was here, and he spent his last weekend, him and his family, with us. Somebody that just came into this church as a volunteer, ends up on staff. And now God called him to go and plant a church where he came from in Collinsville. And he was kind of distant from me the last weekend. Like he was ignoring me a little bit. I'm like, what's up, dude? I'm like, why are you ignoring me, you know? And I'd come up on the stage, and he was just kind of cold, you know, and I'd be like, hey, man, congratulations, you know, you're awesome. I'd give him a hug at the end of his message. And Saturday night, he was like that. And Sunday at 9, he was like that. But in the 11 o'clock service, at the end of the service, like, I give him a hug at the end of his last message because I think there's just a lot of emotions going through their lives. And I give him a hug, and I go, boom, love you, buddy. And I let go, but he didn't let go of me. And I'm like, oh, this hug isn't over. And so I put my arms back on him, and he squeezed hard. It hurt, but did, man, my neck. I was like, gosh. And then I heard the dude cry, like the and right in my ear. It was just blaring, like surround sound. And I interpret through just the muddy cry of his voice. I did interpret, and he said a lot of things to me, but one of the things that he said was this through the tears of his voice. He said, thank you for seeing something in me. And when he said that, you know, it just, it made sense because that's really all we're supposed to do, right? It's just see something in people. Because how many know we got a cloud of witnesses all around our lives that'll tell us we can't and you can't and you won't and don't and all of these negatives. And how many know, like, that's what I love about the voice of God is regardless of what you're going through, he breaks through that type of clutter and he tells you you can, that you can do this, that you are created for something great, that there is a dream inside of you that can still happen. And God calls us to be an extension of that voice to people. And how many are thankful that that voice found his way into the Kimbrell family? Amen. And now look at what they're going to go do. All we did was see something in somebody. And that's what we want to do here, Journey Church, with the future of this new campus, is to be a place that simply sees something in every single person. Amen. So I want to ask our ushers if they would to come and ask our worship team if they would to come. And we're going to close the service. I know we're going a little over in this talk. I'm closing right here with this opportunity. Because right now our ushers are being just tasked right now. They're going to be headed down the aisles and being given, you're going to be given a form. Can I get one of those forms, please? I don't want to be exempt from this moment. I know one of the ushers is probably going to need to run down and get me one of these forms if that's okay. Thank you, Mike. This is for all of us, friends. I want you, if you would, as this form's being handed to you right now, as fast as we can, guys, if that's possible. Can we get a couple extra guys to help out here? Because I know there's a lot to hand out in this room. Thank you so much. I want to ask you to consider helping us. Let me erase that word consider. I want to ask you to help us. Because we're a family here. And families wrap around a cause and are willing to do whatever it takes to make that cause happen. And with this monumental, through the one set of eyes, $150,000 need that we have in this church, I want to ask us to view this in the context of what we can do. What can you do? What can I do to help shoulder that need? What can you personally do to help shoulder that need? Because I know you look at this form and our eyes go right to that big number at the top right of that paper and it says $150,000 and you're like, well, what am I supposed to give to that? How can I make that happen? Friends, that's not a trivial question that I believe needs to be answered in this room. I wouldn't dare ask you to put the pen to that box down at the bottom on what you could give to help make this need be met right here in this room. I believe that's something that needs to be done out of prayer. And so on the back of your form, we have instructions that we want to ask you to do to make this process, to make this miracle happen. This is a church that gave $100,000 to the dark. I don't even believe it would be an issue now that we see what God wants to give us and now that we see what God wants to begin through us. But nonetheless, I believe that every person in this room needs to pray. I believe in God-led giving and not man-led giving. So I'm not giving amounts out here like if X amount of people could give X amount. I believe that God needs to lead his people in what they are to give. And so starting tomorrow, I want to encourage every person in this room, every single one of us, to fast and pray. And what I mean by fast is you just give up whatever you feel like God wants you to give up. Give up something that would just help clear the clutter in your minds, you know, so that our flesh just doesn't get in the mix here, but that we would be able to tap into God's voice and just pray and fast however long you need to pray and fast. But get clarity on what you're supposed to put in that box to help us get there, to help us begin something that we've been waiting nearly 3 years to begin. And when you find that answer from God, then we want to ask you to write it in there, number two, and pledge that. Once you've determined what God has put it in your heart to give, along with the other information that we're asking of you. And after you've prayed and fasted and filled it out, then we want to ask you to turn it in. We want to ask you to turn it in on or before April 12th. That is 3 weeks from today. We believe that 3 weeks, as we prayed, is enough time for all of us to get that direction from God. And if you need help getting direction from God, we'll pray with you. But 3 weeks, we would ask that within that 3 weeks, on or before April 12th, that you would hand that in to us. And we're going to have a box at the info center that's going to say, you know, for our pledges. And you'll be able to put that in there. Or you can wait to give it to us on April 12th, Sunday, April 12th, which is 3 weeks away, which is when we're going to have our open house tour experience of that campus at 1 o'clock on that Sunday, 1 p.m. on that Sunday, where we're going to invite every person to come with us. And in groups of 12 to 15, we're going to take everybody on a tour and take you through every part of that campus and show you the vision and pictures and paint the dream so that you can see it. And at the very end, we're going to arrive out by the Dream Center where Morio and Jamie will be waiting and sharing with you what we want to do there. We believe God is going to bless every person in an incredible way for their help inside of this need he's putting inside of our lives. And after you turn it in, we're asking for the fulfillment. That we would see the pledges fulfilled at any time in May. We kind of want, and again, please understand, if possible, maybe God will put an amount on your heart and you're just like, whoa, I don't know how that's going to happen. You just do what you can and be obedient to what God tells you to do. But in the month of May, we're asking, if possible, all those pledges could be turned in because we want to stay on our deadline to be able to move in by the fall of this year. Because how many know it's kind of tough now we're paying rent here and paying mortgage. So we want to be able to get in by the fall. And we believe by Journey One, we're going to see one of the biggest miracles this church has ever seen, where we're able to celebrate everything we need to move in to what God has called us to do in the next season. I just want to ask you, Journey Church, are you excited to go with us? Amen. Amen. I'm so excited to go with you. I want to ask if we would to stand, and I want to close in prayer. Sandy Miller, I feel like God wants you to close the service in prayer. I just want to ask us if we would just to walk out of this room with expectancy inside of our hearts to the great season God has in front of us. Thank you so much, sister.
Dear God, I thank you for this opportunity to be a church member and a church family, to sit in this room where other people would become so hungry for you, God, that they would own their thirst, Lord, for you. Because we are thirsty, and sometimes we don't even realize it. We try to drink from other things, and they're all empty, Lord. But you say in your word that you will pour out wells of living water, Lord, if we would just own our thirst, and we would own our need for you. And so, God, I'm so excited to see this dream, this promise, and the impact that we can have for your kingdom. Lord, to see families and marriages healed, to see men rise up and be brave and courageous, to see women just take their role as nurturers and raising their children and becoming godly women, and to see kids grow up with just fire and passion in their lives and want to serve you, Lord, in any way they can. I thank you, God, for this church. And you know what, Lord? Even if I don't ever live to see it come to fruition, you know, time, things like this take time. And I think sometimes we think, oh, this will happen like next year. But it's just foundational, and we're building blocks. And so whatever, God, whatever seed you're planting with this church and with this Dream Center, Lord, I just want to be a part of it. And I just pray that all of us sitting in the seats will say, I want to be a part of that.
Yes.
I want to be that seed.
I want to be a part of it.
Because it will have impact years down the road, way beyond our lives, God. And what a thing that we'll be able to celebrate with you in glory. I thank you so much for your son. Because without him, Lord, we don't have you. And it's in his name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Journey Church. Would you shake a hand or hug a neck before you go and just encourage each other as we walk toward the vision God has for us as Journey Church. Amen. God bless you.